recently saw a sign this week on a church marquee that said something like this: seasons change, but God does not. And aren't we glad of that? Can I get amen? Wow, thank you so much for being here on another beautiful Sunday. We are enjoying what many of us consider to be our favorite time of the year. But friends, these are exciting days. I just want to go back and relive some of the things that Andy was talking about this morning here at First Baptist Fairleigh for you and the radio listening audience, so everybody can be a part. More than just a fall festival, festivities and the football season. Hey, the ladies' Bible study began this past week. And Let It Be is a title for that. I heard the girls chatting this up, and my wife came home excited about it. Thank you, ladies, for being a part of that. You can still participate for those who weren't even here last week. The cantata practices begin tonight. We've already acknowledged the fall motorcycle outreach. Sure, we are allowed to ride a motorcycle or a bicycle or walk. Walk the trail and enjoy Jesus Christ. The fall Western Roundup with award-winning churchmen will be here on the 20th. The youth retreat, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and so much more, which all begs the question, is Christ in all of these activities? Is Christ in all of these festivities? Is Christ in all of these programs? Yes, at least I hope He is, right in the center of each of these things, Bible studies and activities and retreats and music and more. Christ right in the center of this. 5 years ago, God called me to this wonderful church. 5 years ago. This month. I just saw that on my calendar. Because God said, Dallas, I want you to preach a message you preached 5 years ago. I said, Lord, I can't remember where I left my car keys last night, you know. He said, go back and check your files. And friends, God gave me today's message that's found in your bulletin 5 years ago. Now, I'm not going to be preaching this here, but I'm going to be unpacking it for us today. So if you look inside of your bulletin sermon section, before we honor the Lord's table here today, I want you to revisit with me God's promises, as Matt sung about, the promises of God that He will bless us if we allow Him to do so. So this is not a homiletical masterpiece that God gave us. If you like alliteration, it seems to flow very well. But folks, we are apologists. The word apologia means rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly defending the word of truth. We should be prepared day or night to rightly divide the Holy Script. To be prepared, Paula, to give any person, Peter said, an answer. To be prepared, Bruce, when someone asks us to preach a revival or to speak up in our workplace, be prepared to rightly divide, thus saith God. Not our opinion, not the world's opinion, not our spouse's opinion, not certainly not our intellect, but what God has to say. So 5 years ago, God said, Dallas, I'm going to give you seven things it's going to take for me to bless First Baptist Fairleigh, as well as any other church, as taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. So if you want to turn with me, please, you'll find all the T's sort of sandwiched there together. From the writing of the Apostle Paul, halfway through the New Testament, we find Paul and Silas and Timothy being addressed in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, as well as the church of the Thessalonians. So allow me to read it here aloud, you follow along with your eyes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. God will bless a church if they follow what the Thessalonian church did. Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, now this is Silas who replaced Barnabas back during the discord they had there earlier, and Timothy, unto the church, not a building but a people, of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's why I emphasized earlier, emphasis being placed on being in Christ Jesus, being in the center. We're in God, in Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We, the ones He already addressed here, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. How would you like to have Paul praying for you? How about Timothy? How about Silas? Sure. That's part of exhorting the saints we'll be learning about. He said, listen, we remember without ceasing your behavior, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience, your confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, the hope we have in the sight of God and our Father. Folks, in verse number 3, what I find down here in a condensed fashion is really the love for God and the love for God's church will, Andy, produce labor. Think about that. If you love God and you love His church, you will want to serve Him, certainly. That's why Paul says in another place, you want to work out your salvation. So he's talking to a good church. He said, listen, I thank God for you always. In a moment, we'll find out you're the model example. You, above others, I want to point out in the Holy Scriptures as being the example, not to elevate you, to saying, as other churches strive to be like Christ, they can look at you. Wow, wouldn't you like to be a part of that church? Sure, and we can be that church today. Verse number 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your calling, your election of God. Now listen, it's not about us, it's about the gospel. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. I love that word, the didymos, where we get the word dynamite, the power of the Holy Ghost of God, as well as the assurance, the confidence we have, knowing what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us. Think about that. You, this church of Thessalonica, became believers because of Paul and Silas and Timothy as being conducted and led by the Holy Spirit. By the way, sidebar, could that be said about us today? If the world was just like us, would that be a good thing? Paul wasn't again bragging on himself. He said, listen, I'm chief among sinners. I wish to God I was better. But people were noticing Paul and Silas and Timothy making a difference as anointed by the Holy Ghost of God and impact them so much, this wonderful church was born out of this. Of course, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, plus or minus no one else. So you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, the logos, in much affection with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Everyone say joy. Joy. That's not going to break our face. We should be excited. 60,000 people were screaming yesterday over a football game. Go, go, go. Man, we start off strong. And by the way, that was a wonderful game if you listened to it or watched it. You know, but we lost. Listen, it was a great game, a valiant effort against the 11th ranked team in the nation. Man, I think West Virginia can throw their shoulders back and say, we did well. Wow. Joy. Jesus, others, yourself, of the Holy Ghost of God. But verse number 7 is worth underlining in your Bible if you don't mind doing that. Here's where he sort of lands the plane. He said, you see, you are models. You are examples to all that believe. Now in Macedonia and Achaia. What? Knowing you believers, it's starting to rub off on others. And from you, not Paul now, not Silas, not Timothy, but from you, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread abroad. That's known as evangelism. So that we need not to speak anymore. Think about that. One of the privileges, the commitments, perhaps even better, we as Christians before God Almighty is to replace ourselves. Don't start pointing around the room, but folks, we're going to die. We're all going to die. I heard an old preacher say one time, fellas, you know that brand new pickup truck you're driving? One day you're going to die, and your wife is going to marry your carnal buddy. He's going to be driving your brand new truck. Spending your money you worked hard on all your life, sleeping on your side of the bed. He said, you're going to die. Won't you make the most of it now through the joy of the Holy Ghost? Paul, Silas, and Timothy invested in these young believers. It took root, not only in Thessalonica, but also in other places. Everywhere they went, they wanted to share Jesus Christ. That's why I believe in verse number 7, as well as in 2 Thessalonians, you can find us throughout both epistles here. These personal, very personal and profound letters that Paul wrote this church. Folks, this is not a formula. This is a foundation. This is what it takes. Not a formula, do this, check the box, and all of a sudden God's going to bless you. No, no. He said this is foundational. This should be a part of your life, your daily life. Not something we do on Sunday morning. Not something that we do because we have to do in the morning. It's something we do all the time, but we bleed Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. It changes those around us. So 5 years ago, again this month, God gave me this message. And what we'll do right now is just address each lesson from this we'll be taking for the next few weeks. We'll be addressing each one individually. But right now, I invite you to follow on with your eyes inside of your sermon notes section. God will bless a church where the Savior is exalted. I'm going to give you all the answers. You don't need to fill in the blank. You don't need to do anything. Folks, this is it. Above everything else, we'll find here, and again, I'm just going to give you the highlights. Follow on with your eyes. God wants to bless His church. By the way, Jesus Christ said, this is my church. Not our church, but His church, where Jesus Christ is exalted. Quote this with me, please, Psalm 103. Let's do it in unison, or you do it in response. Bless the Lord, say it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. His benefits, the benefits, you look in Psalm 103, the benefits of forgiveness, the benefits of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the benefits of walking in accordance with His Word, the benefits of knowing He always listens to our prayer, and more and more and more and more and more. Look at your handout. God wants to bless a church if we allow Him to do so. Our Bible says God is a jealous God. It's not Jesus and somebody else or somebody else and Jesus. It's Jesus. Can I get amen? This is His church. God wants to bless a church. But you and I know a lot of churches not about Jesus. It's about me and my ministry. It's about me and my class, or me and my this and that, and you can just fill in the blanks. Folks, that was never God's choice. That was never God's design. That was never God's foundation. The cornerstone of our faith is Jesus Christ. And we'll be discovering that here in 1 Thessalonians. But quickly, God wants to bless a church, a model church. We have the formula you'll find in here later, where the Savior is exalted, but secondly, where the Spirit is experienced. Yes, the joy of the Holy Ghost of God. Over and over and over again here in the first chapter, we'll see where the Holy Spirit is addressed. And I find this to be more and more alarming today. When I go around and just talk to different pastors and churches, we talk freely about God the Father. Oh, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Wonderful. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Absolutely, Him exalted. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. When we say nothing about the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, think about this now. The indwelling, He indwells within us. When you and I become Christians, you're anointed by God so much, He sent His Holy Ghost to live within us. That's believers. And we walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When I see people bickering and fighting and arguing and caring about things, you say, oh, you know, that poor soul, he's really going through a tough day. I really wonder if he's a poor soul or not. Is he really? Is she really? Are we really Christians? I heard one of your favorite pastors in America today, his name is Robert Jeffress, say this week, and I was in a meeting in Charleston, and I was just trying to find some preacher on television, God help us, that was going to be an expositor, going to be exposing the truth. And Robert Jeffress, I found him, said, yes. Whew. Not because he's Baptist, because he truly is an apologist. And he said, dear friends, hell is going to be full of believers. I said, what? And I thought, wait a minute, he's right. There's going to be no atheists in hell. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory that Jesus is God the Father. I'm the Father of one. Everybody in hell is going to be remorseful, regretful believers. They didn't choose Jesus. It'd be a great time to ask you, do you have the Holy Ghost of God within you? Are you a believer? Isn't it horrible to think that people who come to church on a regular basis are going to split hell wide open? Well, I don't like the way you talk. It's my privilege to share the gospel. If that upsets you, you may not be right with God. We're going to be honoring the Lord's table. Do this in remembrance of Him. Not us, not me. Preachers come and go. But this is for believers. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Is He exalted above everything? Is the Holy Ghost living within you? Thirdly, down here, we see God will bless a church, any church where salvation is explained. Where salvation is explained. That's what I just did. Explain this. Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin, pardon of sin, accepting Him into your heart. Yes. Where the Scriptures are examined. Praise the Lord. Where we use the Holy Bible. Don't raise your hand, but I hear this more and more often. I went to a church service for an hour and a half and nobody opened a Bible. What? God's not going to bless that church. God said, I'm a jealous God. I gave you a love letter. You're not going to use my Bible? You're going to not use my canon, my word, my love letter to you? It'd be like the church of Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul, as endorsed by the Holy Spirit, wrote them this personal, very personal letter. They said, yeah, it's just from Paul. Put it on the shelf. What? Wow. How would that make God feel? Knowing that He anointed Paul. How would that make God feel today when churches don't use His Bible as the first, foremost, and final authority? Well, I know what the Bible says, but get ready right there. As soon as someone says that, get ready. You're fixing to hear some man's opinion. I know what the Bible says, but, folks, God's not going to bless that church. Oh, He might bless a mob, but He's not going to bless a church as He has anointed this church. So God says, I want to bless you if you exalt my Son, if you experience my Spirit, if you explain my salvation, if you examine my Scriptures, if you exhort my saints. Wow. That word exhorting here means to encourage. We're a hospital. Once again, don't look around and start pointing, but there's people here in this His own congregation that are hurting today. And Paul tells us in Hebrews 10:25, forsake yourself not, the gathering together on Sunday, to come together, to worship God, and we forget about this part, to exhort, to encourage one another. Wow. Who would want to go to a church where people are just mad and fighting? No. We're a hospital. People are hurting. I'm a pastor, not a policeman. I understand all of that. I hope you do as well. God said, I want to bless your church if you do these things. Number six down here, if sin is going to be exposed. If sin is going to... Now, here, without exception, this has changed on my watch in the last 20 years. This has totally changed 180 degrees, a complete turnabout. God will bless a church where the Savior is exalted and all these other things, but where sin is exposed. Let's do Bible study 101. Does anybody remember what the definition of sin is? It's an archery term. We have some bow hunters here. Season's open. What is it? It means to miss the mark. You have missed the mark. As an archer would propel an arrow toward his target, and you missed the mark. So we miss the mark. Many churches today are missing the mark when it comes to sin. What used to be sin, clear, today is celebrated. And just by me saying that, upsets some people. What? I remember the day the preachers used to preach, come out from among them. Come out from among the world. We're so much like the world, we look like the world. People can't tell us anything. We want to come out from among the come within the fold of God. And again, we're not on a witch hunt. But sin is sin, can I get amen? At least from some people. At least from some people. But my goodness, when I turn on television today, or I try to read the headlines, or even anything that's going on, the presidential debates, whatever, man, we're celebrating it, and we're using it as a battering ram. Now, if you don't agree with us, then you're the enemy. What? I agree with God. And God says, I want to bless you. Will you allow me to do so? Yes. Well, I can't bless sin. Does that make sense? God, what happened? You're robbing my son of his glory. You're making it about you. When did church become about us? What? This is my style of music or my style of dress or my style of this, my style. What? We don't come to church for us. We come to church for who? For Jesus. To worship him. Under the guidance of a spirit. With a clean and unregenerated heart. Before we take communion here, we'll be doing that. We'll be cleansing our hearts so we don't come before the holy table with dirty hands. And lastly, down here where service is expected. Sure, God wants a blessed church where service is expected. Christianity is not a spectator sport where we sit on the sidelines. This church got it. And that's why we'll be taking the next 7 weeks and looking at each one of these, unpacking these again. This is so important. God said, Dallas, I gave you that message 5 years ago, but you hurried through it. Lord, I'm sorry. 30, 35 minutes, I'm sorry. But Dallas, this is so important today. My word, first, foremost, and final authority hasn't changed. The seasons change, opinions change, people change, but my word has not changed. So we're going to be addressing each one of these for the next 7 weeks.